Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Timken India Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Avendus Spark. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, Mukesh here from Avendus Spark. Appreciate everybody logging in. I'm pleased to be hosting Mr. Sanjay Koul, Chairman and Managing Director, Timken India, and Mr. Avishrant Keshava, Whole-Time Director and CFO, Timken India. We'll start with a brief opening remark from Mr. Koul and then follow it up with the Q&A. Also, this will be a 45-minute call. Sir, over to you.
Thank you, Mukesh. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for joining. So I'll make my opening remarks quick so that we have enough time for questions. So generally, the Q2 24-25 performance highlights where we got the best September quarter revenue of 753 crore, which was a 10% YoY growth compared to the same quarter last year. Demand was largely driven by the domestic, which was the plus, and in exports were minus. So that was the plus was domestic and minus was exports. They were subdued. But if you compare to the previous quarter, the domestic was less by 4%, and largely that was rail because of, obviously, we had the monsoons and all that stuff, cyclicality. And then overall, I can say that, obviously, there is a geopolitical situation, and there are uncertainties across multiple end markets. U.S. market has been subdued. China is down, which China is down, mining is down, Australia is down. We export to these markets, America. Though October retail showed some positiveness in U.S., hopefully from today onwards, it showed better, but in the bygone quarter, it was not a great sales revenue growth there. Our PBT margin was 16.4% compared to 18% in the prior year period, and last quarter was 16.6%. Resilient margin performance in the quarter despite unfavorable product mix. Obviously, rail was down, so that impacted product mix a lot. And overall, our balance sheet is debt-free. Cash flow is robust. We are continuing strategic investments. And as we have spoken before, the Bharuch project is in full swing. And as we speak, the shop floor, the building is up. Shop floor utilities are currently up and under construction. The air conditioning, the whole plant will be obviously air conditioned. HVAC is getting in place. LT1 is getting in place. All the coolant systems are getting in place. We are putting up a 66 kVA line getting in directly from the GETCO substation. Not 33. We are going for a 66 kVA, looking at future and everything. Civil work is progressing. STP, ETP, solar work is in progress. Fabrication work is in full swing. The machines are already the box machine has been received from Italy, Switzerland, Japan, etc. And more machines are coming in. So overall, Bharuch facility is in full swing. Though last two, three months were a big challenge, heavy rain, Baroda was underwater, crocodiles on the streets. All that is now behind us, so that obviously had an impact on the construction. So that is the general highlights. And with that, I would turn it over back to Avishrant to you guys so that we can directly go into the Q&A. And as it is only 45 minutes and we have already gone 6 minutes, so 39 minutes left. So let us jump into the questions, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, how was the revenue mix segment-wise?
So, Mr. Jain, the revenue mix for the Q2 24-25 this quarter was out of the total pie, the rail was 22%, mobile was 18%, distribution was 19%, process was 21%, and exports were 19%.
And in the railway segment, how do you see the growth going ahead? Basically, in the fourth quarter, the number was very much strong. From there onwards, we see some sort of moderation in the revenue. So,
your voice cracked a little bit. Can you repeat, please?
Sir, how is the outlook for the railway segment? In the fourth quarter, the revenue was very much strong. And from there onwards, we have seen some moderation in the revenue. So how do you see the revenue growth in the this railway segment for the next, for FY 25 and 26?
Yeah.
And what would be the growth figure?
Yeah, generally, the rail is always the last quarter, which is generally best because the wagon industry pushes the wagon manufacturing. They have to complete their contracts. So if you see all years in last 5-10 years, the last quarter of the fiscal year is always the best, and there will be no change to that. That will remain here. Overall, the wagon build is pretty healthy, and also the rail passenger Vande Bharat, all that is pretty okay. Metros are also shipping in, and as I have been always saying, it will be always steady growth in rail, and it will keep on growing, and that is how it is happening, and it will continue to grow, though not like a hockey stick, but it will keep on growing. Obviously, the wagon production capacity is slowly enhancing. It is not enhancing at a very breakneck speed, and the buy is also going through its own challenge. So the last quarter of every fiscal year for people doing business in railways is always the strongest. It will not change. I think it is a slow, steady, solid growth pattern. Last quarter was very good. Again, I think this fiscal last quarter will be good. And more wagons are obviously getting made. It is not a hockey stick. There is no dearth of orders as well. Obviously, some quarter will be low, some quarter will be exceeding well, but overall, year on year, there will be slow, steady growth. That is how it will remain. The metro push is there, but obviously, metros are in a small number of cars, but that will also remain there. Vande Bharat is having traction, so I would say that it is a nice for railways, a nice overall as an industry, nice, steady growth, and that momentum will keep on happening.
And in export side, how is the outlook ahead from last 2 to 3 quarters? There was a weakness, and most probably that, as you mentioned, that there will be some recovery expected from the U.S. market. So what is your outlook for the S2 and FY26 in export terms?
So U.S. market, I would say Americas, not only U.S., Americas, both north, south. Obviously, north is important. So Americas overall, rail had its pluses this year, and I think that even next year the rail in the Americas will be decent. The class HD, the heavy truck segment has its weakness, and hopefully with the election results, October was a better month compared to the rest of the month, slightly better. So I am expecting that there might be a possible recovery in the U.S. markets, especially on the single TSL, which is the heavy truck side. I am hoping that everybody is having the doom music there, but I think that with the election getting over and steady political will coming back, and October was, if October is any indication, it might be better than what everybody is expecting. That is my take. But the real side of America will remain okay next year.
Thanks, sir. That's all from my side.
Thanks.
Thank you. Before taking the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chandrakant from Ericsson's. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Good evening, sir. My question was regarding the parent portfolio besides bearings. Will they be launching that portfolio in India through Timken India? Or is it not yet clear?
No, it is very clear that everything which we are selling in India is through Timken India Limited. That is what we have been doing always. Now the major multi-billion-dollar or multi-million-dollar question is that the parent has taken over good companies, a lot of technology companies, which is part of the powertrain, whether it is belts, chain, pulleys, etc., and also in the area of robotics and linear motion, etc. So these are all European American companies. So they are high on tech. Now the question is that we are obviously in bits and pieces here and there, importing and selling. Like for example, we recently did the Pune Metro lubrication system, which we got from one of our sister companies, TIL, sold it to the Pune Metro guy. But the real essence is whether we have a solid business case to use the technology and do something in India, either in terms of M&A or a greenfield or something like that, or supply chain. So those are the business evaluation we are continuously doing and looking at it. Definitely, the technology is available. Some great companies have been acquired by the parent. And how do we leverage them in India, both for the domestic market and for the export? So this is continuous evaluation discussion also at TIL board level and also within our company in the leadership here. How do we leverage that? But it is very clear it will be sold through TIL, so that is very clear. Now, how do we procure it at the right cost using the technology? Like, say, for example, in the case of Timken India Limited, we have the technology from there, and we have the local sourcing and local manufacturing, and we have a good combination. So on those, which we call internally industrial motion components, whether it is belts, chains, lubrication, etc., etc. So how do we leverage that technology and use India-based and India cost to serve the Indian customers and also use it for export? So those discussions are on. You know, there's an interesting company which Timken has taken over some time back called HFANG, which is cone drive, which is into the solar market and which is into slim drives. Now, these slim drives are very important if you want to graduate from the fixed panel in solar to rotating panel, so that you get the best of, as the sun moves, you get the best of the rays of the sun and produce optimum level of. So we are looking at that. We just won a small order from Tata Solar, and we did some assembly and TIL sold some units, just kind of a pilot. So it is a great opportunity. We are looking at the best model, which will provide growth for Timken India Limited. But one thing is clear, it will be sold to TIL. Now, how do we do it? Because, you know, it needs both technology and a local manufacturing base or local cost base, so that we are evaluating.
Okay, that's great to know, sir. My second question is regarding the holding of the parent in Timken India. That's reduced to 52%. Are there any plans to increase it so that investor confidence is also increased?
The parent is currently at 51.05, currently we are at 51.05. And that is it. I have no further information on that. Neither going down, neither going up, no information available with me.
Thank you. That was my last question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurav Patwa from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question, sir, with the new plant commissioning possible happening in sometime in year 25, how do you see it impacting our revenue growth and margin? And also on the second question is on with the change in leadership at the global level, how do you see India, are any discussions on for India gaining more share in exports with the new plant and any more plans of incremental CapEx happening in India?
Okay. Thanks, Saurav, for asking one great question and one tough question. So let me answer the first question in terms of the new project which we are doing in Bharuch. So, you know, just to put this question in context, Timken India currently has a plant in Jamshedpur and has a plant in Bharuch, and we are manufacturing tape roller bearings generally on 0 to 8 inch, which largely goes to heavy trucks, both PE and differential needs, and also goes into the tractors, similar application, and goes into off-highways, the excavators, backhoes, things like that. And then we also produce the rail bearings, which go into passenger trade, locomotive, etc. So these are what we term largely as the mobile equipment, which in simple language is whatever has a wheel on it is mobile, and whether it's off-highway or on-highway, that is what we are producing largely in India at Bharuch and at Jamshedpur, whether it is rail or whether it is tractor or whether it is a truck. Now, India also is a growing bearing market. Apart from the mobile, there is also a lot of stationary equipment. Stationary equipment means equipment which goes into steel making, which goes into cement making, goes into power generation, goes into aggregates, material handling systems. So these are the area where you use bearings, which are other, they use tape roller bearings, of course, but they also use spherical roller bearings, they use cylindrical roller ball bearings. These are different forms and sizes of the bearings, and these have a large growing market in India. So that is what we are currently importing, and TIL buys it from its sister companies and sells in India. So we looked at the market size, looked at all aspects, and then obviously went to the board and came to the conclusion that we should start producing cylindrical roller bearings and spherical roller bearings, which has a large demand in India. And these bearings are also used in similar equipment in every part of the world. So, for example, in Malaysia and Indonesia, they are largely heavily used in the palm oil market, which is a growing market. They are used in same cement and steel industry. So with that, we had the business case. We got approved and we started investing in our project in Bharuch, which will start making the spherical roller bearings and cylindrical roller bearings, which are going to cater to the Indian market. We were exporting and we were importing, and now we have a chance to localize it and we have the chance to export it. So obviously it is going to be a revenue mover because of the fact that with the right cost, local supply chain, strategic customer, and these are the customer where we have been traditionally importing tape roller bearings and supplying them for years, and they have been always asking that, hey, why not the other portfolio, the basket is available, why not try that? So we started then importing and testing the market, and finally we have started making those bearings from next year and start supplying them. So it is certainly going to be revenue positive as Timken has a heavy knowledge on supply chain, our knowledge on material science, we have created a nice supply chain. So given our previous record, so I'm sure that this would create, with the Timken technology, world-class bearings with the right cost, and the market is going in this state, growing in this stationary equipment, and that should fetch us not only our top-line betterment, it will also do a better addition to our bottom line. So that is the whole idea of the business case, and we are committed to execute that. So it would be positive. Now, how much positive, only time will say, but business case is meant for positive top line and positive bottom line. So that was the good question. Now the tough question is that with the new CEO, Mr. Tarak Mehta, how do you see the new growth? How does it impact India? So obviously, Timken Company, now I'm speaking of Timken Company, is a global company. Obviously, they are the promoters for the large promoters for TIL. And 125, we celebrate 125 years this year. So it's a large, old manufacturing company. Mr. Mehta comes with tons of experience, previously from ADB. He has been on ADB India board, knows India pretty well. Though he has not spent much time in India, I think he left India when he was 17 or 18 and has lived in America and Europe most of the time. He's a very, very great business leader, proven business leader in ADB, has done many M&As in his time at ADB. And yesterday was his first investor call as well. He has come on board to lift Timken Company to the next level. So obviously our previous CEO, Rich Kyle, ran the company as a CEO for more than 10 years and did a fantastic job of transforming the company from only bearing to a complete solution provider in the powertrain. And now the next level obviously has been initiated. I think certainly as he has been on the ADB India board, has been working on ADB China, extra understands Asia pretty well. And Asia definitely has a strength. India has a super strength of cost, quality, delivery. And our quality is, in general, in industry, mechanical industry, good companies, top quality and great cost and also quick delivery. So I'm pretty much hopeful that any great business leader will leverage India. And now there is China Plus One and all those things on one side. But just looking at India, where itself currently your $5 trillion economy has 12-13% manufacturing. Every day the economy is increasing as it becomes 7-8 trillion and manufacturing becomes 25% of the pie. Obviously, you need a lot of manufacturing in India, and then India can easily become the workshop for the world. So Mr. Mehta is an astute business leader, understands Asia very well, understands America very well, and definitely he has been hired to take the company to the next level. So obviously markets are currently down. There has been America last been tough, but they run in cycles, and I'm pretty much sure that he is bound to lead the company to the next level, and nobody can ignore India. It's a great home market and a great manufacturing base. So it is how do you leverage well, and when somebody knows that region very well, obviously it will be leveraged very well.
Great, sir. Thanks a lot for the detailed explanation. Can I add one more question if you allow, sir? Sorry? Sir, if you allow, can I add just one more question? Going by, sir, your comment on the previous question, would it be safe to assume, sir, that the second half would be much better than the first half, and in terms of both growth as well as mix improvement, and should lead to a better EBITDA margin as well?
So, I cannot tell you about, I can't give direction on the margins and obviously whether they will be better or worse. So, in general, I will tell you, in general, there are two things which I can tell you in general, as I told previously. Rail, generally in the last quarter for the industry is good. Rail as a mix is good. And with the American presidential election getting over, I'm sure there is going to be a direction there. And October was pretty giving some good kind of indication. India after Diwali generally is good. So I don't see any reason to be pessimistic as I look for the October to March two quarters in general. I think business people who run business should be optimistic, and there is no cause of being pessimistic in it. So that would be my limited answer.
Great, sir. Great, sir. Thanks a lot. Really helpful, sir. And all the best.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ankur Sharma from HDFC Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening. Thanks as always for the time. Three questions. One was on the the process industry, steel, cement, how are you seeing demand over there? Also, if you could talk about wind, one of your peers talking of a reasonably good revival on the wind market as well. So, yeah.
Thanks, Ankush. So let us take wind first. So in general, you have now a lot of wind companies making gearboxes in India. So I'm first looking at the bucket, which is the export bucket. So like you get a Flender, Gamesha, or even NGC, they are looking at India for the right reasons to do the job here, to serve the markets in and out. And that is pretty much optimistic in nature current. So that is on one side. On the other side is that Indian domestic use of wind is gathering momentum differently with Adani's especially. They have pretty solid plans. Even Suzlon is pretty much robust in nature. The consumption, India was always sub megawatt, and now even 2 megawatt is very small. So, Adani is looking at 3 and 5, so which is a pretty significant good win. So I would say that with the push from the government of India on wind, although we have strong solar shaping up as well, but with the region where they wanted for strategic reasons as well, the Kutch and that area. So wind for domestic use is picking up differently, and we see Suzlon, Adani for the Indian market doing a good job, and then we see on export, though obviously there has been the Chinese wind market definitely is down. If you compare it to what it was say last year, it was definitely down. But the manufacturing of the gearboxes in India for the ZFs of the world or the Flenders of the world is okay. Even NGC is starting doing okay here, and domestic is okay. So I would concur with the fact that wind is not going to be a pessimist. It is definitely going to be a good guy, if I can use that term, for the next year. But all these take time. Wind is again a market when, say, for example, Adani is coming, they have to test a windmill, install a windmill. Then obviously, then they will go with a lot of strength to do the rest of the stuff. So it will be good. And will take time, like railways, it is heavy infra, so it will be nice and steady, if not slow and steady, then nice and steady. So definitely wind is there. On the steel side, I would say that we currently definitely are not using steel production in India for capacity utilization. That is not happening, but as the export markets pick up, I think that will have a positive impact on the consumption of steel, especially alloy steel, which is a more kind of near cost. But in general, steel currently is not capacity utilization, but is not in a bad shape. But as exports out of India pick up, there was a dip, but as they pick up, definitely more steel will be used. On infra, because of the election, there was a slowdown on infra a little bit. You guys know it better than me. But now the traction has started. So the traction has certainly started on that. And if Mr. Gadkari remains committed to use cement, because he keeps on talking about alternate technologies, but as long as he uses a lot of cement in the infra built and bridges and other related areas, and as new steel gather more traction, which is still not gathering that traction, so cement is also going to remain, and you can see the stock price of the steel companies. Overall, I would say that wind, steel, wind followed by cement followed by steel, that would be, if I have to say, number one, number two, number three.
Okay, got that. And then a related question, sir, on the CV market as well. You know, what are you hearing from some of your key customers? You know, given, as you said, elections are over, I know Q2 also some heavy rainfall, et cetera, so government spending too was a little weak. But are you seeing initial signs of a pickup on the overall government spends and maybe that trickling down to better, you know, numbers for the CV?
My personal view is that, you know, obviously, if we see some good quarter-over-quarter, it would be the last quarter and CV will be better. We certainly see, you know, obviously, last year for the excavators, though the number was great, then it went down because of election and all that. So that has come up again and definitely will come up again, you know. That by 2030, the construction market is going to be 10 billion market, so that is going to have traction. On CV particularly, I think, January, February, March might be a lot better than the previous two, three quarters.
Got that. Okay. And just the last question, sir, on the margins itself, you know, when we look at gross margin, slash material margin, you know, we used to do about 41%-42% earlier, maybe last year, even before that. Now we are in that 39% range last two quarters. So is it more to do with the mix where we have lower share of export, or is it also that we're not able to completely pass on, I don't know, maybe higher RM prices? So just trying to understand, do we or when do we see gross margin going back into that?
Yeah. So obviously, my boss is asking the same question. So it is sort of a mix of everything. It is a mix of inflation, it is a mix of, you know, it is partly because of the mix, partly because of inflation, energy cost, labor cost, and then steel going up and down here and there, et cetera. So it's a mix of everything. Our endeavor certainly is to make sure that whatever can be passed on should be, you know, if not the price, the cost escalation has to be passed on. So that battle, especially the automotive industry, is legendary, you know. It will always be fought, and, you know, at the same time, customer is a customer. But overall, I would say currently there were a combination of inflation, combination of mix, which included the export, they were stretched. So, so, you know, endeavor is to have the right balance, optimize the supply chains, and things like that. But on the passing the price, in automotive is tough. You know, I don't see that, that though the endeavor is continuous, but there is huge resistance, and obviously the industry is competitive. So there I see, it not, you know, not getting a lot of traction just on pricing. But we are trying to improve our mix, trying to further optimize wherever we can, as much as solar to bring down the electricity cost, so all those endeavors are on. But passing the cost in totality is a battle, which sometimes we win and sometimes lose, but the battle is on.
Okay. Great. Okay, got that. Thank you.
Thank you. A gentle reminder to participants that you may limit your questions to two per participant, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Agarwal from UTI Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Sir, my first question is, what will be the split of exports in terms of railway and auto, and how is the European railways doing right now?
Sorry, Dipesh, I think your voice was not audible a little bit. Can you please repeat?
Yeah, sure. So first question is, can you give the split of exports in terms of railway exports and auto, and how is the European railway doing?
Okay. Sorry. Thanks, I got the question. So, generally, you know, when everything in Americas go well, it is generally 50/50. That is generally the mix between the heavy truck and the rail. This time around, rail is more skewed, so it is almost 70/30 or 68/32. You know, generally it is 55, but this time it is more rail, less TS from the heavy truck. On the rail side in Europe, Europe is not having any much freight. Russia is generally out because of the various reasons they have there. But the European market is not a heavy freight market. So rail freight in Europe is almost minimal, and their passenger is also very minimal and mostly running on sphericals, and we are in India mostly making tapers for the passenger. We are slowly converting to tapers and might be a market for us for tomorrow. So rail market in Europe is a small market, is niche market. We do export to the leading rail, but it is small. They have no large freight. So obviously the large freight markets of the world is America, China, Russia, India. So these are and South Africa, followed by Australia. So these are the large freight markets in the rail segment.
Currently, what would be geography-wise split for us in exports, U.S., Europe?
We are largely our exports are North America. We export to Australia, we export to even China, but largely it is U.S., followed by Europe, and followed by then the rest of, we follow.
U.S. would be more like 60-70%. Is that understanding correct?
America would be, 50-60% would be America. You are right.
Okay, sure. Sir, the other is also on the CRB, SRB, I believe the CapEx was originally 600 crores. If I look at your balance sheet, CWIP is 290 crores. So it seems still a large chunk of the CapEx is pending. So is there any delays in terms of timelines for the Bharuch plant?
So obviously, we have 600 crores approved, and we have obviously paid the advances. Then we have to run off the machines. Final payments will be done off the machines. These are imported into India, and then civil construction, you pay only after finishing. Then you keep 10% still there and all that. So we will be obviously consuming the CapEx. Every order is placed. Machines are coming. You don't pay them until you don't run off them all. Then our 66 kVA is to be energized in next 10 days. After that, we pay the electricity guys. It is also a tidy sum. So all that is in motion. So the plant is, I can't show you the picture, but, building it up. Machines, major machine boxes are inside the plant. We are waiting for the final lap on the 66 kVA. Coolant systems and all that, air conditioning is getting fitted by. But obviously, all payments will be done after complete installation, testing, etc. But we are not delaying as such the project. But, there would be natural delays because this time it was a lot of rain, etc.
Yeah, so this should be commissioned by January, right?
So we are working towards as fast as possible. Some months we are there, but the endeavor is first quarter-ish, somewhere like that.
Okay. Sir, lastly, if you can share what is the quantum of CRB, SRB you are currently buying from the group companies?
So we are not buying a large. It is, it might be 60-70 crores. So, obviously we are importing that from Romania, we are importing them from US, but it is not a huge sum, but as our competitors are making them mostly in India. So we have the chance to take it up, but generally it would be currently, if my math says, 70-80 crores, not more than that in the total pie. And it is all obviously part of our, we import it into India, it is part of our distribution sales.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. And my question is related to this new plant which we are building, and since we don't have much presence on the CRB and energy side in the India, so how much time will it take really to really ramp up our production and getting the client confidence on our bearings of CRB and NRB? really, if you can give, I mean, 2-3 year time kind of, I mean, reasonably okay.
So I would say that, you know, Timken has been selling CRBs and SRBs for last 20+ years. So as you know that most of the equipment which is either in the paper industry or in the cement industry, or it is in the steel making industry, or are mostly having their own, you know, for example, Danieli, you know, Italian company. So they are all already exposed to the Timken spherical and cylindrical. So it is not that something is going to be completely new. We could have sold a lot more if I was not margin-centric, but, you know, we have to balance everything. So the clients, say, for example, if I can name Metal Handling, Metso of the world, or similarly in steel making, John Cockerill or, you know, steel makers like Tata Steel, they all know Timken SRBs and CRBs. And for us, globally, quality is same, our material specs are same, steel making technologies are same. So if we don't sell, it will be our failure, our sales failure. It won't be a failure because the customer doesn't know Timken, or the technology is not there, or the product quality is not there. We are using the best of the best equipment for this. So no, obviously, you know, it is always when there is a new plant, the new plant has, first of all, Timken will do a brand approval on it. That is a process which goes through rig testing and things like that. Then the customers will start doing the PPAP, and they will also have their own paperwork. So that is the time which is mandatory to be taken. But I would say that from the end, let me also add this little thing. We started assembling these bearings by getting the components from our sister companies and already started selling, testing and selling and all that stuff. So we are on the job, and I think that it should be between the first month of production to, say, 18 months of production. Between that period, we should be established with most of our customers supplying from this plant.
Fair, sir. Is it possible to get the quantity that how much we are, I mean, is assembling and selling it?
We are currently, I think, assembling and selling, not value is not huge, but maybe 1,000 bearings. So it is just to kind of, you know, as you know, starter moving first movers and all that. So that is more of testing rather than revenue. But, you know, as we start producing out of the Bharuch plant and start shipping, already as any business will do, our customers are aware. We are keeping them fully aware of what is happening, what kind of machines we are getting in, what kind of processes will be taking place. So as soon as, I don't think the flow of order would be a challenge. Challenge would be to do the paperwork, management of change, PPAPs and things like that. Now, obviously, we have to compete and win more and more orders. And all these customers, major customers, are already exposed to our SRB, CRB, which we have imported and are supplying to them. Now, the quantities and the customer base would increase.
Great. Great, sir. So on railway, how do we see our market share? And you said that there is some kind of a delay in procurement of wagon and all, which you expect that to start picking up from Q4 and Vande Bharat. If you can give some color, is there any delay?
Yeah. So obviously, the last quarter of every fiscal year is always the best for the railway companies. You know, all the railway companies do very well that way because they have to complete their order book, and monsoons are over, and all the Diwalis and the Dussehra, those things are over. So obviously, those are the best lap of the race. So no-brainer, industry of rail last quarter of the fiscal is always very good. As far as our market share is concerned, it is a competitive market, and we compete. We have created a world-class supply chain, and we got pretty appreciated good asset base in Jamshedpur. We are on freight. We are the market leaders in India on passenger. We are the market leaders, and we intend not to lose any ground to anybody. So we are as lean as the market goes. We are committed to serve our customers in rail and not give a push. But at the same time, we continuously work on technology. We continuously work on enhancing the product features and That is the way we've been ahead in India. When we have time now, I can explain how we have brought newer technology every 3-4 years into India, and railway has benefited, and we have always been ahead. And many of the spec, whether when the first train 18 was flagged by Mr. Narendra Modi ji, it had Timken bearings on it. So we are always with RDSO on the drawing board. We've been working closely with the railways for the last 30-40 years on design aspects, improving the safety aspects. And it is not only supply chaining or optimization, it is also enhancing the features of the bearing, getting better, say, for example, Class K for DFC. And then as they also want more safety features, and Timken would play its role there. So all that in together, we will work hard, and we know everybody else in the market is working hard to keep our position intact on railways. And railways in India for next 15-20 years is going to be a market. It will be slow and steady, better every year, but not a hockey stick, as I always say. So that would be my answer, Bharat.
Thank you. We will take the
last question. I think 5:45, 5:47, we can take one last question. And if there is a question, we can take one more question, please.
Yes, sir. The last question is from the line of Priya Ranjan from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Happy Diwali and Happy New Year. So just one thing on, how much bearing-wise we are selling to the sensorized bearing, etc.? And what is the status of the rolling mill contract we used to get? We had last year, I think we were having around 12 or 14 sites we were operating. So if you can throw some light on that.
So Happy Diwali to you, Priya Ranjan. You are really asking a very tough technical question. Did you visit my office today morning or what? So you're asking about sensorized bearings. Let me take out of this question the easy part one. We are operating 28 Natech sites in India. So we are winning more sites in India, and we intend to promote that model on not only steel. We want to take it from mill tech to caster tech to power tech to cement tech. So it is a tough journey, but we are on that path. So that's the path we are walking, and to get better experience for our customers, better residual life out of our world-class bearings, which are produced with a lot of care. And we want to make sure they are mounted right, they are run right, and we are increasing our sites. So as I said, we have already 26, 27 sites there, and we are increasing by the day. And this last month, we have won the caster maintenance site at Bellary, Vijayanagaram here in Karnataka. And now on the sensorized bearing, Timken supplied sensorized bearing to Ford for many, many years. We produce a railway sensored bearing. I did a presentation to railways 30 years back or 25 years back. So Timken has the technology of how do you use sensors in the bearings, which are largely used for calculating or measuring the heat, temperature, and the vibration. And this is meant to act as a safety device. Temperature is high, that means there is some problem, so that you can stop the bearing so that derailment does not happen. And vibration, again, the same cause, safety. So obviously, we have the technology. We obviously can do that. Now the question is that, is the customer ready for it? Does he ask for it? So Priya Ranjan, when you were driving a Fiat car 15 years back, you had no technology in the car. Now when you are buying a new car, you will not buy a car without the technology. Now Priya Ranjan sir is ready to pay money for the tech in his car. Similarly, now railways is ready to explore and pay for extra safety in the rail. And we have the tech, we have the technology, both on sensored, wireless, wired, and we've been doing it in North America for many, many, many years for Ford and for other aspects. I remember back in the day, we had a bearing which could generate electricity. Who know the freight market, there used to be a guard train called Caboose. Kubbu's mein, there was a lantern. Lantern was not for that filmy song. It was because there was no electricity in the last car, which was the Kubbu's. So Timken had a bearing or generator, which would electricity generation through the bearing and can light two lamps for the guard. So long story short, we have the tech. We want to make sure that the railway and the industry is ready to accept it and pay it. And then we are ready to introduce that to the market. But obviously, the customer should say yes to it.
Okay.
So, by the way, I was discussing this with my technology team today morning only. So,
great to hear. That's a, just lastly, if I can squeeze one. So, if I'm not wrong, you said around 18 months to ramp up the capacity, the ramp up of the production of the new Bharuch facility. So in 18 month timeline, I mean, what kind of capacity utilization we can think of? Like, I mean,
so,
typically we have always operated at 80 plus capacity.
So, you know, I would say that, you know, in order to reach 80, I would say that, you know, in 18 months, I should be able to, you know, every asset, every machine has to be ramped up and all that should take me 18 months. But for your question, which goes apart, beyond the ramp up is capacity utilization, I would say it will take us at least 3 years to reach the mark or to use at least 80-85%, which is our intent.
Sure.
Sooner the better, but I would say that new plan, new technology, PPAP, certifications, ISO, everything, we would ramp up nicely by 18 months and capacity utilization by 24 to 30 months would be my take.
Okay, got it. Got it. All the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. You all have a good evening. Thank you very much. Back to you guys.
On behalf of Avendish Spark, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.